Tom Tuck, when the Who's Who of the Edinburgh Fringe comes out, it'll be thick because there's been a lot of fringes. When they get to the entry that says Tom Tuck, it's just like a few words. What's he going to say about you and also the guy that's about to join us and tell you off for not flying?
More consecutive fringes than that stupid Richard Herring.
That's very good, actually.
We cross-referenced in the Who's Who of the Edinburgh Fringe.
And so now, as we're joined by Tim Fitzheim as well, just for a couple of minutes.
Hello.
You guys that have packed out stadiums in the United States have decided to play the venue that everyone dies for, which is the Black Medicine.
Yes. Yeah. It's not even the coffee house.
And you've decided to do Shakespeare as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's quite good, someone said.
Famously.
What's the birth of that idea? Let me have the story here. Come on.
Well, I was...
During Mark Watson's long show.
Yeah, so Mark Watson was doing a 26 or 7-hour show. 26.2 hour show. Yeah. And
so he's made cuts then?
Yeah.
Well, it was midway, marathon themed.
Okay. Yeah, midway through that, I arrived and I had to do an audition for Henry V. And so I thought I'd just rehearse the audition with Mark during the show. And so I did the speech, but Tom then very kindly volunteered to be the horse that I was riding on to do the speech. And the audience just seemed to really enjoy it. And I just thought it was something really nice about live directing me and Tom doing Shakespeare. I thought if we could replicate that or even try and be more ambitious, then it would be great. Obviously, Henry V isn't perhaps the best play to do up in Scotland, so we went with Macbeth, because also that's the shortest Shakespeare play.
Yeah, we'll edit that out, by the way.
It's the shortest one, definitely. And so we went for the shortest Shakespeare, which is Macbeth.
And the most Scottish.
And the most Scottish. Because yeah. Almost it's like it's the basis of Scottish nationalism, Macbeth. It's fantastic. It's a great play. And there's lots of murdering, and there's lots of sensuality about it, which me and Tom are, you know, well, we live for that, don't we? That kind of sensuality.
Well, you're the perfect height for Tim, aren't you?
Well, yes, and I have to say, Mrs. Lady Scottish Play is smouldering at points.
Okay, but now, what is the challenge here? You know, the challenge is to deliver this in the basement of a cafe.
Well, that's not the main challenge.
The main challenge
is the number of actors, which is us. It's two.
Okay.
And
normally,
the original's got 38. Which is
so
more than two.
Yeah.
But, you know, there have been solo shows that have achieved worse.
Certainly, but it's the complication of some of the court scenes, really.
Okay.
When really four or five people need to be on stage at any point.
Now, my problem as Fringe Review editor is trying to get, you know, comedy actors and comedians to talk seriously, but actually that is a good challenge, isn't it? So how are you going to pull that off in a way that this is, you know, people going away talking about it and being genuinely impressed by the stagecraft?
Efficient hats?
Yeah. But also what's really nice is when we do actually manage to land a good bit of Shakespeare, the audience, you can feel it. You can feel that the audience are going, oh, they've actually done, that's a good bit. They've done a good bit of Shakespeare there. And that's a really exciting moment. You know, it's
and then we realise we both have to be playing Duncan at the same point.
True story.
So it's up to you, from the sublime to us.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Also, just thinking the venue again, and you know, you've been here and there, and you've been here and there. This is quite a nice, humbling thing to do, play somewhere small like this, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I wanted this play. I wanted the first attempt that I ever did at Shakespeare in Edinburgh to have as many what some people might see as problems as possible. So, a new director every day, only one other member of the cast, doing it in the basement of a coffee shop, and no technical staff. So those are all the problems that we've got.
Yes, if we want a different lighting state, one of us has to go to the tech box.
Yeah.
So the more hurdles you can put in the way, the more hurdles you can jump.
That's right.
It was years and years ago, that I think I saw a very new young group called the Penny Dreadfuls playing the Underbelly B-Day, I think that was the venue. Has it always been a challenge that you've deliberately done not to quite learn all your lines?
I think I generally knew all the lines in Penny Dreadful shows by the 23rd or 24th show, and I think that's all you can really ask.
We caught it in the previews, I'm afraid.
This year,
more for you.
I mean, this year he's changed it up. He's not remembering
any of
his lines. He's not remembering Shakespeare's lines instead.
Yeah.
That's the difference this year.
If anybody does ever, and we just go for an image now and then when you're doing a show, looks on your Facebook page, there seem to be long periods of you being tortured by yourself.
Well, if you mean the one where I'm covered in blood.
Well, no, let's just look at you. You're searching for yourself a bit, aren't you?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be funny here. You know?
I have had a Facebook profile covered in blood, but that was after playing Christ.
So this is the most the normal I've seen you for a long time. You've got a proper haircut.
Are you saying longer hair equals more introspection?
You were a sketch group and then you did your DVD show and you've done radio, and of course that's serious because you write scripts and get paid, and now you're back in the bottom of a cafe, you know. Is there a through line for you?
That no one is paying me enough to be elsewhere during August.
Okay, right. Fair enough. And how about you? Are you pushing yourself?
Well, I think it is a challenge because we've had to learn half of Macbeth each, and that's quite a different, you know, it's not like an easy thing to learn.
So I'm being quite profound. Why would you do that?
Well, because I like that challenge. That's a challenge. I like it. I like the fact, I like trying to get the words really right. I like trying to get the metre right. I like that challenge. I love a challenge, me, and that is a good challenge. You know, learn half of a really complicated Shakespearean script, and then try and replicate it every day with a totally different director who might want totally different, who will want totally different things out of you.
Right.
So as a performer, as someone on stage, that's just a really challenging set of a run. You know, you've not only got a really complicated script with lots of nuances, you're then saying every day, let's do it different, let's do something else, let's get on with it, and that's
let's
really
not get
exciting.
Complacent or good.
So, yeah.
So play serious with me for a moment. Okay, let's say this is a huge success, which it will be, and at the end someone comes up to you and says, yes, we'd like you for the Travis next year, Travis 1. Just the theatre of, how will you change the way you do this?
Well, if we're at the Trav, we'll have budget for the guests. We could get some absolute superstars.
Well,
Dame Kirita Kanawa.
We've got superstars. We've got superstars.
But fringe superstars. I'm saying, like, you know, Clarkson.
Clarkson directing Macbeth. That's quite the image, isn't it?
Billy Piper.
But would you grow the cast, or would it still be the two of us?
No, just the two of us.
I think the costumes would be better as well.
No.
The lighting would be good in the Trav.
Nah, just do it the same.
Just more of the costumes.
Yeah, more costumes.
And if it's a huge success, so you're back next year, what would be your choice of Shakespeare next year?
I would say Lear.
Romeo and Julian.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet could do.
I'm getting tragedy here. We're not going on to a comedy.
Yeah, maybe a Hamlet. I quite the fancy, you know, a Hamlet. I like Hamlet.
Do you want to be Hamlet?
Yeah, I love Hamlet.
So I don't get to be Hamlet?
No, well, you get to be Lady Hamlet.
No.
Ophelia.
Ophelia's good, but...
Yes, it is.
Okay, well,
mad.
I mean, but
that's exciting.
If you're demanding you play Hamlet, then at least I get Polonius.
Yeah.
And this is Tom and Tim. We could add the surnames later. In your history of shows here, there's Tom and it's nearly always a bloke, if forever, and there's you and a bloke. What about world? Well, you know, are there shows that are going to be, you know, you playing second, third, fourth fiddle to a female troupe?
Well, I mean, I think this is interesting because a lot of our directors are female, and so in the Macbeth that we're doing now. And so it's quite exciting. You know, I don't think we approach it in a gender balanced way. We don't have a quota to fill, but it's really nice that so many of the people that are directing us are women. Because I think then it's not just two blokes on stage. You've got actually the power. The entire power in the room is with the female director.
And it's just that those are the people that we actually wanted to ask as well.
Yeah. And they're brilliant. That's why we asked them.
So this doesn't go back to schoolboy habits.
I mean, there's always going to be, if you're asking the question seriously, there's always going to be a tradition of cross-dressing is quite funny in British theatre, because, I mean, Panto is still alive, and there is still a mainstream cross-dressing for comedy. Whether it diminishes other cross-dressing is irrelevant. It's still there, and it's part of a tradition.
Final question to both of you. So we're asking this to a lot of people just to see what the answers are. Serious answer if you can. Give me a number between 5 and 18.
17.
Okay, 17 and...
A number between 5 and 18. 7.3.
Okay, this is good. So your number, that version of you that you remember, now comes to see your show at this Fringe. And then gives you a bit of feedback at the end.
Oddly enough, that was the age I was did my first Fringe.
Okay, so that's an interesting comparison. So what do you think now, seeing how you work?
I think they like they'd like this show. It was then that I first saw short form improv, and that's why I did Improverts at the Bedlam Theatre up the road, which is how I met the Penny Dreadfuls, which is how I'm in this business at all. The love of short form improv, love of Who's Line, any sort of improv, I think that version of me would, yes, very much like it.
Okay, so as they see you sitting in the shadow of a bus about to play a cafe, they'd be pleased that you're still, and I'm going to say,
you asked about the
work. No, but experiment, but you're experimenting, haven't sold out to everything, you're still that experimental younger person.
Yeah.
How about you, Tim? You're seven and a half.
Oh,
remember that person, they've come to see the show.
Yeah, I think 7.5 year old me probably would be quite chuffed. I think largely nearly everything I've done has been almost a professional version of me at 7.5. So rowing the channel in a bathtub, taking a paper boat down a mighty river, hollowed out logs up the Amazon, running across volcanoes, deserts, suits of armour, and all of those things are a bit like 7-year-old plans. And yet I've managed to somehow still get to do these things, still get to do these crazy plans, even though I'm not 7.5 anymore. And so it's like, it's almost like we're two kids doing a grown-up play. That's really what this is. Macbeth is, it's a very serious, very grown-up play.
And we're doing our best with it. And we are sort of trying to marry the innate clowniness of us both, personality-wise.
Yeah, you're definitely that.
Yeah. Clownishness, not clowniness.
Well, just so you know, listening to this, it was only 10 minutes, and during this interview, both of them checked their watches, mobile phones once, and kept looking around, but I did my best. Thanks.
Lies. I have not got a watch on, and my mobile phone is charging in the bus.
You just kept looking around.
I tried to stop a call coming on my phone. That's what I was doing. I didn't want to interrupt the interview because it's so important to me. That's why.
Brimming with restlessness, mashing up Shakespeare. Thanks for talking to
Shakespeare. We're trying to do it properly.
Oh,
sorry. Is it a wrap-up?
Yeah. Hard-hitting, site-specific. Immersive.
That's it.
VR.
Those are the words.
Gender sensitive.
Yes.
Spiritual. Digital. Emotional. Theatre.
Sex. Reckless.
Find it. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.